God has called everyone into missions, but too often we think missions are only for missionaries. So today the focus that I want to talk about missions is that you're called. It's you. God is giving you something to use for his mission. We have a great church, and honestly, the best that I think I've ever seen in any church. I've been a pastor for over 20-some years, and I don't think I've actually, I'm being 100% serious when I say this, I don't think I've seen a church that has dedicated more time in prayer, more money to missions than this church. That's a testimony itself. This is a heartbeat of our church, is missions. It's the church's heart. When we had COVID shut down, we had individuals on the board. We had individuals in the church that said, hey, we know COVID's shutting some people down. The churches are shut down, all the operations. But it was the church's mission to say, I bet you they're having difficulty over where they're at too. We should double what we're giving. And we did. That is a testimony to the church. I don't say that to be prideful. I say that's the heart. They're listening. We're listening to God. I love that. And it didn't come from pastor. It didn't come from me, but it came from within the body. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a church that's listening where God wants to go and what God wants to do. So the sermon isn't an attack on Center Bethel by any means, but it is a challenge to the individual. It's an attack on the enemy. And we need to understand, I believe that Satan is after this up-and-coming generation harder than ever before. I'm blessed to be a youth pastor, to be a youth minister, because I believe these generations that are coming are called to set a tone and called to change what is there. Don't get me wrong. I love my generation. I love the generations before me. But I'm getting old. Amen. Who said that? No. I'm not a young whippersnapper like I used to be. Time is coming. My recovery time slowing down after I play basketball on Wednesday nights. What used to be, hey, let's go hard at it tomorrow morning. It takes me like 2 days to recover. It's a real thing. Now, you might look at me and say, you're too young to have these problems. Look, I might look young, but I'm trapped in like a 55, 60-year-old body, okay? So, I'm getting in some deep water right here. Back to the notes. Here we go. Woo! I believe that the generation that we have right now, that the enemy is pursuing harder maybe than he ever has before. Because I feel like in America right now, he's got a grasp and he's got a hold on my generation. I hate saying that, but my generation has done some good things, but my generation has failed desperately to set a tone that needs to happen for the kingdom of God. But I believe this generation has a calling like I've never seen before. Yes. This generation that's up and coming for our children is going to be impactful in anything they say and do. And don't get me wrong, you're not done yet. Your work is just beginning too. But I see a need that has to take a tone for this generation to come. The enemy is hitting the families so hard. I look at something that was very dear to my life personally. Growing up, dinner table, sit around, have dinner together as a family, have discussions as a family. Where we once had dinner tables, now we have tables with a TV or tables that are just used to pile stuff on. Discussion time and family time become irrelevant because it's replaced with so many things to do. I hate saying this. My wife and I have talked about this before. When it comes down to it, in the generations that we have, kids are beginning to raise themselves. It's not a knock on anybody. I'm just saying it's a different time. But what I'm getting at is the missions field is ripe. Amen. And we got to be on our A game and what God's calling us to do and move. He's hitting these harder. Children raising themselves, right and wrong, become based upon what the individual thinks. It's a scary world we live in right now. We must become more devoted into everyday 24/7 missions in our life if we want to really see God move and make that change. It starts with us. Missionaries are literally getting called to come to America. This breaks my heart. This is my country. God's put me here to do a good work. And when I look at our country, we have one of the countries that with the most churches, evangelical preaching churches in this country. And yet, out of all the countries, it's ours that we see more people leave the church hurt, frustrated, or empty. And now we have missionaries that are called to come to America from third world countries. Brings it to realization a little bit. See, our mission field is right where we are at. Don't miss it in your own life, and don't miss it in somebody else's life. See, Paul told Timothy this when the church was going through, Timothy's church was going through a hard time in 2 Timothy 1:6. Timothy was facing some clearing problems in the church. Others were bringing different religions and different beliefs into it and applying them to the church itself. And Timothy was like, I'm getting so frustrated with the understanding of this. And so young Tim, the talent that was given to him, Paul says, now look, understand this. God has given you something. And Paul says this, 1 Timothy 6, stir up the gift that God has given you and watch it work for the most part. Watch it fan a flame. Stir up the gift that he's given you to continue. And so as he sits here and he's going through this, Timothy then begins to hear this. He receives this letter from Paul to stir it up. And I'm here to tell you today, you have a gift, a talent from God. You have a gift, you have a talent. Are you using them to glorify his name? Everyone has a gift. Everybody has a talent. You are called and chosen by God. Ephesians 2:10 is what our youth group lives by in the passage where we start, where we base the foundation of everything. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared in advance for us to do. He's prepared in advance for us to do. Let me say it one more time again. He's prepared in advance for us to do. You have to understand he's got a plan. You're part of that plan. That means you are chosen. That means you have purpose. That means he's given you something to use. Are you using it to glorify his name and his plan? Church, when are we going to understand that our daily life isn't to gain, but our daily life is to give? When I wake up in the morning, how can I give today, Lord? How can I serve? For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. See, let me say that again. Even the Son of God came not to be served, but to serve. For he gave his life as a ransom for many. If we're supposed to imitate this, are we serving or are we trying to be served? Are we trying to gain or are we trying to give? Are we giving our life as a ransom for many? How do you show that love? By using what God has given you. How do you show that image? By doing what God has given you. It's simple. Love yourself so you can love the body of believers. The body can work together to reach the lost. You know, the whole two or three are gathered in his name. You hear the presence. Two cords are stronger than one by itself. Two or three cords bonded together stronger. The body of Christ, when it actually operates as the body, it's a lot more effective than just the one individual finger. Does it make sense? The whole hand is now moving. When we are healthy, we're prime to reap a harvest that's outside. God has equipped you for the time, but it's up to you to stay either silent or stay bold. I'm not saying you're doing a bad job. I'm saying, can we do better? Are we giving it all? See, true and proper worship comes from the act of giving it all. We just sang a song, and it said, it's a sweet aroma to your ears. I don't have a good voice, okay? It's okay. It's not scary. It might be to some when I sing, though, okay? But the great aroma that he hears isn't the voice that I sing, but it's my giving my all to what I'm doing. That's what's sweet to his ears. Are we giving all? Are we holding back because of the fear of the lie that life isn't perfect at this moment, so I can't be used by God? Life isn't perfect, so I can't serve. I'm messed up, so I need to wait before I get healthy to serve. You'll never know the strength of the Almighty God until you push through your own personal pain and minister to others. That's beginning to live in faith. That's usually when people find the gift of something. Let me put it into very practical use. When you show up for work, you see an annoying coworker that you're with, okay? And instead of looking at them and thinking, another day with this person, Lord, Lord, give me strength. You pre-decide before you even get to work, Lord, I need to encourage them today. Give me the words to speak to them. Before I get to work, I'm going to encourage them. Decide that. And instead of rolling your eyes at them, you're going to smile at them. Instead of winning that staring contest that you're the only one playing, you're going to begin to love them that they've never seen before. Simple words of encouragement are a gift. Simple words of encouragement are a gift. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, for those who love it will eat its fruit. For by your words you will be acquitted, by your words you'll be condemned. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. This is Romans 12, 6-8. Each of us, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to its faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All our gifts and talents will be different. It's like a fingerprint. You might have the same talent and courage. It's going to be shown in a different way. It's unique to you. That's what's so important to understand. It's not, oh, somebody else can do it. No, but only you can do it the way God's given it to you. That's important to understand. What gifts are you neglecting right now because you're stuck in a rut, wallowing in self-pity? Pastor last week had a great message about weariness. It was powerful. When your mind isn't right, then it's easy to forget the purpose behind the act of what you're doing. If you're not healthy yourself, you need to understand, if I'm not healthy, I'm not going to want to serve. So sometimes that means, I know I'm not healthy, Lord, help me. That means I just got to get up and serve. I got to choose to do this. I got to fight through this. And then it's not your own doing that you're doing, but then it becomes the power of God doing it through you. And it's much more effective that way. Amen. God used a stick to do some amazing things when Moses had it. He used a donkey to witness to people with Balaam. If he can use a stick and he can use a donkey, he can surely use you. You are chosen, you have a talent, you have a gift. He can use you. Here's a scary thought. I'm gonna get real with you for a second. Talked about the generations. The prince of darkness is after the individual soul a lot harder than the church is after him right now, in my opinion. That's a scary thought. The prince of darkness is after the individual souls a lot harder than the church is after them. For the past few generations, the church has been under attack of complacency. As long as I'm okay, everybody's okay. As long as I'm doing the minimal, we're gonna be okay. God doesn't call us to just get by. He doesn't call us to do the minimal. He calls us to give, to submit everything. We have catered to the needs of us and my selfish needs instead of the needs of the individual sitting right next to you. When your focus is more about you than it is the person next to you, there might need to be a change of heart. Do you even know, again, the person to your right and to your left? Do you know their needs? But in fact, do you even know their name? Some of us, it might be that family member right next to us. It extends to the first mission field, which is the home. You must be healthy at home, and then the church. It's like you drive to church on a Sunday morning at home. Children are fighting in the back. Husband and wife aren't talking because of the fight they had the night before. All of a sudden, the kids get so annoying. Dad yells, "Do you want me to pull this car over?" Then all of a sudden, mom yells at the husband because he yelled at the kids. "Why you always yell at the kids?" I don't know if that's really how it works, okay? That's a terrible woman's voice. "Honey, stop it!" Okay. Pulls over, okay, all this. You get to the church, all of a sudden they walk in, smiles, everybody's dancing. "Yeah, hey, we're at church, this is great, this is our love." It's got to start at home. Husbands, it starts with loving your wife just as Christ loved the church. Wives, you have a voice in the marriage. You're called to be submissive too, not dominate it. It starts at home, loving each other, serving each other. When you are married into a covenant, it is a covenant. It's not a contract. It's not how can you serve me, how can you serve me. It's when you're married into this covenant, it's how can I give you my all? That's a marriage covenant. That's what we walk into in the sacred honesty of marriage between God. He's given us everything. We're giving God everything. We're giving our spouse everything because it's through him. That's where it starts in the home. If that's messed up, you better believe you're going to be messed up throughout the rest. Start serving the other person more than yourself. You begin to realize a lot about yourself when you do too. You must serve at all times, showing that love. Acts 2:42, my favorite passage in Scripture. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and everything, and they had everything in common. They sold property, the possessions, to give to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Lord added to their number daily. Get that. The Lord added to their number daily. They just did what they're supposed to. The Lord did the rest. Wow. It's the idea that we take care of ourselves as well as taking care of those that are coming into the church. Do you know the needs of the person to your right, to your left? Have you took time for them? I thought it was a pretty good analogy. When Mark 10:45, you, the Son of God, the Son of Man, did not come to serve, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. You are chosen. You have a talent. You have a gift. He can use you.